want to begin today with a story. It's from a website called EliteDaily.com. I don't know if anybody's heard of it, but it's essentially a news platform aimed at the millennials, the younger people. And there's some kind of off-the-wall stuff on there a lot of times, but this one story reached out to me and really struck me because it's in line with what I wanted to talk about today, and it's something that affects all of us. So I'm going to go ahead and read this story. What if you took 5 minutes to slow down and appreciate the people and the interactions around you? What if you took a moment to notice, say, the sorrow on one woman's face or the pain in the man's eyes sitting next to you on the subway or on the bus or wherever you might be? What could your tiny interaction mean to them? And we spend our lives waiting for the next big event to happen in our lives, the next destination, usually unaware of the moments being created around us. For one cab driver, his decision to take a moment to slow down changed everything for one woman. This is a story of patience, a story of brotherhood, a story of small random acts of kindness that have the power to affect people on a big scale. And this taxi driver wrote, "I arrived at the address and honked the horn. After waiting a few minutes, I honked again. Since this was going to be my last ride of my shift, I thought about just driving away. Just forget it. But instead, I put the car in park and walked up to the door and knocked. Just a minute," answered a frail elderly voice. I could hear something being dragged across the floor. After a long pause, the door opened. A small woman in her 90s stood before me. She was wearing a print dress and a pillbox hat with a veil on it, like somebody out of a 1940s movie. And by her side was a small nylon suitcase. The apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. All the furniture was covered with sheets. There were no clocks on the walls, no knickknacks, no utensils on the counters. And in the corner was a cardboard box filled with photos and glassware. "Would you carry my bag out to the car?" she said. I took her suitcase to the cab, and then I returned to assist the woman. And she took my arm, and we walked slowly toward the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. "It's nothing," I told her. "I just tried to treat my passengers the way that I would want my mother to be treated." "Oh, you're such a good boy," she said. When we got in the cab, she gave me an address and then asked, "Could you drive through downtown?" "Well, it's not the shortest way," I answered quickly. "Oh, I don't mind," she said. "I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice." I looked in the rearview mirror and her eyes were glistening. "I don't have any family left," she continued in a soft voice. "The doctor says I don't have very long." I quietly reached over and shut off the meter. "What route would you like me to take?" I asked. And for the next 2 hours, we drove through the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. And we drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a girl. Sometimes she'd ask me to slow down in front of a particular building or a corner and would sit just staring into the darkness, saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was creasing the horizon, she suddenly said, "I'm tired. Let's go now." So we drove in silence to the address she had given me. It was a low building, like a small convalescent home, with a driveway that passed under a portico. Two orderlies came out to the cab as soon as we pulled up. They were solicitous and intent, watching her every move. They must have been expecting her. I opened the trunk and took the small suitcase to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. "How much do I owe you?" she asked, reaching into her purse. "Nothing," I said. "You have to make a living," she answered. "There are other passengers," I responded. Almost without thinking, I bent and gave her a hug. She held on to me tightly. "You gave an old woman a little moment of joy," she said. "Thank you." I squeezed her hand and then walked into the dim morning light. Behind me, a door shut. It was the sound of the closing of a life. I didn't pick up any more passengers that day, that shift. I drove aimlessly, lost in thought. For the rest of that day, I could hardly talk. What if that woman had gotten an angry driver, or one who was impatient to end his shift? What if I had refused to take the run? Or what if I did what I was going to do originally, honk once and then drive away? On a quick review, I don't think I have done anything more important in my life. I think it's safe to say for this gentleman, a moment of slowing down, a moment of waiting, a moment of patience changed his life and the life of that woman. Brethren, I think we've noticed as we look around at society, look at the people around us going on about their lives, society is in a hurry. Everyone is in a hurry to do this, to go there. And people do not like to wait for anything. They don't want to wait for their Taco Bell. They don't want to wait for the light to change. They want things now. They want their meal now. They want that new car, boat, house, Xbox, whatever it is, they want it now. People are just not willing to wait for anything. You see it, like I said, everywhere. In traffic, you have about 1 second to move when the light turns green before the horn blowing starts. Coupled with all this, not wanting to wait for anything, is not wanting to wait for your fellow human being, to show deference to bear with your fellow human being, to take those few extra minutes to hold their hand and say, hey, I'm here for you. Humankind today is driven by impatience. The world is driven by the need to have it all now, events and things. And people often get in the way, it seems. It's amazing just how quickly people can get impatient and intolerant of others. And we're not immune, brethren. We are people too. And it happens to us. There's a lot in this world every day that can try our patience. And often that is the people around us. So today, I just want to talk about, discuss, I want us to just think about something that we all know needs to be a part of our lives. The fine art of patience and long-suffering. And as for a title, I suppose we could call this sermon that. The fine art of patience and long-suffering. And I title it that because patience and long-suffering are among the most difficult attributes for we as human beings to develop. It takes a lifetime. It takes help. And is just as works of fine art that can only truly come through shaping, working, and master craftsmanship. And for these, it does take the shaping and master craftsmanship of our great God through His Spirit. It's listed among the fruits of God's Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22, as long-suffering, as a matter of fact. One of the positive fruits of the Spirit we need to have and develop in our lives. So let's talk a moment about the word patient, or the word patience. What is it? Merriam-Webster's dictionary describes the word patient. I really like this too. It says, bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint, manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain, not hasty, not impetuous, steadfast despite opposition, difficulty or adversity, able or willing to bear. And synonyms, words that are alike to this, can be forbearing, long-suffering, stoic, tolerant, uncomplaining. In the Greek, the active form of this word patient or patience, hupomeno, means literally to tarry behind or still abide, to bear patiently, to wait for. The term long-suffering, according to the dictionary Merriam-Webster, patiently enduring lasting offense or hardship. And it uses the same synonyms, the same sound-like words, meaning words, as patient. Long-suffering in the Greek, makrothumeo, means literally to be long-tempered, to have that endurance. And patience, is often used in terms of waiting, enduring, persevering for someone or something or through a trial or situation. Long-suffering is often used in that vein in terms of forbearance. So why patience? Why do we need patience? As if we didn't tell from that original story I read. Why long-suffering? Why can't we just have what we need now? What's wrong with that? Why can't we just make that problem in our life go away right now, or to be able to make that problem person in our lives easier to deal with right now? Why can't we just go, poof, there's the house I always wanted, or poof, now I can like that person, they won't irritate me anymore. Why not? Well, besides the fact that that sounds a little absurd, if we could just go around poofing everything into our idea of what things should be, or what our ideas of ease or perfection should be, we would never learn a thing about godly character. There would be no positive spiritual development. There would be no help for us. Patience and its companion, long-suffering, is critical to developing godly character, to learn the mind of God and how He works and how He approaches things, how He loves and cares for us and all humanity, and how we in turn must do the same for others. It is critical in learning how to wait on God and to bear long with others when it is needed. And as I've said earlier, it's not an easy trait for a human being to develop. We're not wired that way. We just aren't. We cannot do it ourselves. Too many times, just trying to be patient with someone or something can be a trial in itself. Along those lines, lift the mood a little. I found some interesting quotes on the internet along these lines, and maybe you've heard some of these before, but some of these really gave me a chuckle. Patience is something you admire in the driver behind you, not the driver in front of you. How true. You can learn many things from children. How much patience you have, for instance. Truth there. I think this is my favorite one here. A mule will labor 10 years willingly and patiently for you, for the privilege of kicking you once. There's a thoughtful one. The key to everything is patience. You get the chicken by hatching the egg, not by smashing it open. Patience is the ability to idle your motor when you feel like stripping your gears. It's interesting how many traffic-related ones there are here. And then I've got three more from an author named Unknown Writer. I think Unknown Writer is the most prolific author I've ever met. So I have three here, and we'll see how these work. I was being patient, but it took too long. Be patient. I will eventually do or say something interesting. And then my favorite of the group here, it takes patience to listen, but it takes skill to pretend you're listening. I think there are people that exercise that. So, what are some of the things that patience does in our lives? How does it work in our lives? What does it do for us? What does it do for others? I have five more or less points here. I put the most significant and important one first. It's the clincher. Point number one, patience promotes spiritual growth and development, as we've discussed a little bit already, the development of Christian character. Again, as we know, patience doesn't just happen. It has to be learned, developed, and practiced. It is contrary to human nature, where self and now just seem to always pop up. It's not a natural thing for us. When we exercise patience, we learn and develop godly character and those positive fruits of the Spirit that we need in our lives. James tells us this too. James says so. Let's go to James, first of all. Open your Bibles to James chapter 1. We'll read one of our favorite passages about trials. Actually, trials are a good thing. Trials are proof that God loves us. May not seem that way when you're in the midst of one, but they really are. That's God's way of saying, I am paying attention to you and I love you very much. I want you to learn this lesson. James chapter 1, we'll just start in verse 2, where it says, profiting from trials in the New King James Bible. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Aha, now we know where patience comes from in this. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We need patience to learn how to wait. God will make us wait for things sometimes, and it is to teach us how to wait patiently, to wait on God, to wait for His miracle to work in your life. Let's move ahead a couple chapters to James chapter 5. He has a little more to say about patience. It's interesting, at least in my brief studies in the Bible, that patience and persecution are often linked quite a bit, especially when you go toward the book of Revelation, and I might try to cover some of that in a little bit. James chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 7, read through verse 8. James chapter 5 and verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. We need to be ready when Jesus Christ returns. We need to be ready to stand up for the persecution and tribulation, stand against it, the persecution and tribulation that is coming, duck for a little, swallow water here. All right. The New Living Translation, as far as verse 8 goes, there's a little commentary in there that mentions, this is in terms of, in verse 8 especially, patience and suffering. Verse 8 in the New Living says, you too must be patient and take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. So we need to take heart when that time comes. We're in the beginning of persecution now, as you know. Being a Christian paints a bullseye on us, and it's only going to get worse. And our patience will be called upon to deal with it, and our closeness to God as well. Romans 12 and verse 12, you can just write this down in reference, reminds us to be patient in tribulation. Sometimes you can have your patience tested and have even tribulation at your workplace as well, for those of us who hold down jobs. It can be hard to have patience there with coworkers and bosses. Our bosses and coworkers obviously do not always operate on godly principles. And so we have to stand forward and stand firm with a positive and patient example. Peter talks a little bit about this in terms of masters and servants. I found this interesting when I was dealing with a particular problem at work. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. These verses are familiar to us, but in terms of responding to our masters, 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongly. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Again, this is written in terms of servants and masters, and it can be related to employers and employees and those things, but these circumstances will happen in life too, as we know. It can happen anywhere, anytime. And it's hard to turn the other cheek, it really is. It is hard to be patient when somebody is treating you poorly. This is what God calls us to do, to be that light, to be that patient example, because this is a reflection of godly character. When we show patience in these situations, it sets an example to those who see. We are showing God's light to all who are around us. It is true that enduring the difficulty of a fiery trial or pain and suffering at the hands of another, it can be very educational in learning patience. Patience is often best learned through great difficulty, whether that be a situation or another person. Impact promotes remembrance. And God knows this. When He gives us a trial or when He gives us something to learn, He makes sure that it impacts us because that impact is going to be remembered. We learn from that. A comment from Vine's Expository Dictionary notes that, quote, patience perfects Christian character. makes it whole and true. And we in this life, of course, are tasked to learn to become like our Father and His Son. Point number two, patience promotes love for your fellow human being. And as we've touched upon, one of the harder things in life can be to bear with the idiosyncrasies of others. There are times when others do try our patience, and we, of course, try the patience of others. And I think I can say with some assurance that I've given my wife some practice in this area. Anyway, the Apostle Paul had something to say about this. He gave this instruction to the church at Ephesus, Paul being an example to those who followed his teachings in Ephesians. Again, another familiar verse. Assuming Ephesians is still in my Bible. Oh, here it is. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, as he referred to himself, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, with bearing up, with patience, bearing with one another in love. We, brethren, are called to love one another in patience and long suffering, and there are no conditions put on that. We love one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Expounds on this just a little bit more in terms of instruction in this matter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. This is talking about our fellow brethren, we in the church, the body. Again, we're not perfect. We need help from God. We need help from one another as well. That patient love and help that we can receive from each other will go a long way toward growth, toward love. One more example of this, Paul in his letter to the church at Corinth, speaking of the apostles leading the church at the time, setting an example for the brethren. We will go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the Bible is full of references about patience and long-suffering. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we will start in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 12, their example. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. They were patient. They were long-suffering with those who had abused them. Verse 16. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. Do as I do. Be patient with those who would misalign you. We need to be willing to do the same. Vines has a commentary on long-suffering as well, a comment about it. Vines says, quote, long-suffering is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish. It is the opposite of anger, is associated with mercy, and is used of God. Paul and the apostles in this letter were referring to their example of patience and long-suffering, how we should do the same. Point number three, patience promotes self-restraint, rationality, and wisdom. Patience promotes self-restraint, rationality, and wisdom. It can make us look at what is going on with the issues in our lives, with our needs, our difficulties, our struggles, in a rational and objective manner. It can make us stop and think. Solomon, a man to whom God gave great wisdom, noticed this, and he said something about it in the book of Proverbs. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. Proverbs 14, verse 29. It's a profound statement. He who is slow to wrath, has great understanding. But he who is impulsive exalts folly. He who is slow to wrath, slow to knee-jerk reaction, who will think a matter through first, is wise. And the one who acts or reacts without taking the time to thoroughly look at a situation rarely gets positive results. So what does impatience promote? Besides heartburn and other things like that, what happens when I can't wait anymore? I'm going to deal with this the way I want to deal with it because I think my way is best. What's that going to do? What's that going to produce? What does it promote? All that's going to promote are character traits contrary to the character of God, obviously. Anxiety, worry, doubt, fear, the enemies of faith, lack of faith, self-dependence, wrath, anger, retribution, vengeance, just to name a few. All these being the antithesis of the way God wants us to be in our spiritual walk. These are contrary to the spirit God wants us to develop. And impatience does and will produce a response from God. Let's look at one example of impatience in the Bible and what it netted for a particular individual. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And we'll look at the story of one time when King Saul just couldn't wait. He had to take matters into his own hands. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And we'll start in verse 4. I'm going to go ahead and read through verse 14 to get the full story here. 1 Samuel chapter 13, starting in verse 4. Now all Israel heard it said that Saul had attacked a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel had also become an abomination to the Philistines. And the people were called together to Saul at Gilgal. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude, big army. And they came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth-Aven. Verse 6, when the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves and thickets and rocks and holes and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. Then he waited 7 days. Saul waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. He did it in Samuel's place. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, hey, Samuel shows up. Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. Samuel said, verse 11, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, he had all these reasons, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. He took matters into his own hands. Verse 13, Samuel said to Saul, well, thank you for doing that. I appreciate it, since I couldn't get here in time. No, that's not what he said. You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. Verse 14, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Saul lost the kingdom through impatience. He lost the kingdom because he couldn't wait. He was afraid. He lost faith. He had worry, doubt, and fear. He couldn't wait for Samuel to get there. He took matters into his own hands. He lost the kingdom. He took the priestly duties upon himself and was rewarded accordingly. Well, what of us, brethren, when we lose it? I mean, we may not have a kingdom to lose, but we have many other things that can happen if we do not have the patience to wait? What will we lose to impatience with a situation or with each other or even with God? What will we lose? Something to think about. Point number four. Patience promotes great blessings. Patience promotes great blessings. Peace, calm, hope, promise, reward, up to and including eternal life. The story of Abraham. Abraham had to learn patience, and he didn't start out so well. All we need to do is go to the story of how Ishmael came about to see that. Abraham and Sarah decided, well, you know, we haven't heard from God in a long time on this matter. It's been all these years, and, you know, maybe God needs a little help. We should help him out with this. Well, along came Ishmael, and we know the fallout from that. But ultimately, Abraham did learn patience over the course of his life, and he was blessed for it. And we can see just a little bit of some of that blessing. We go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and we can read just a little smidgen of the blessing that God has promised for him. Hebrews chapter 6. And let's see, where do I want to start? Let's just start in verse 11 to get a little bit of a rolling toward this. Hebrews 6 and verse 11, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise." And now we're going to hear about Abraham, verse 13. "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.'" And verse 15, "And so after he, Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." He obtained the promise of a great nation, multitudes of descendants. He waits for another promise, of course, that of eternal life. That promise he's not received yet, but he will. God promises eternal life to those who patiently keep his way. Romans 2 and verse 6 reminds us of this. I'm going to do a lot of flipping around here. Romans 2. Again, these are familiar verses. Romans chapter 2 and verse 6. I'm just going to break right into it here. Romans 2 verse 6. "Who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality." Brethren, as I said earlier, we are facing persecution now. The world does not love us. It loves its own. And we must keep patience to the end to see the blessings that God has in store for us. We can read of the patient churches in the book of Revelation. We'll look at a couple of them here. That's one goal that we have, is to be the patient church, to be patiently keeping God's way of life, keeping all his commandments, keeping love toward one another until the day when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. We hope that we will hear from him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Revelation 2 and verse 1, the patient church at Ephesus. Just read a little bit of this. Revelation 2 and verse 1. "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands." Verse 2. "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars." Verse 3, "And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." That is a fine commendation to that church. Yes, that church had problems too, as we read in the next few verses. But they were a patient church. They patiently labored in God's work, in God's word, in his way of life. And one more, just a few verses down, Thyatira has this commendation as well. Revelation 2 and verse 18. Even though it is labeled the corrupt church here in at the beginning of the section in the New King James, but they do have this particular commendation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. They did have some problems against them listed here. But patience was among one of the attributes that was given to them. Patience in work, patience in love. We have that commission too, and we will, as persecution increases and as the tribulation comes down upon all this world to test those who are upon the face of the earth. Revelation 14 and verse 12, I'll just refer to it. It says, after describing a lot of the events that are going to happen, it says, here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And we must have that patience, that endurance to the end. One more comment from Vines. Patience is the quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It is the opposite of despondency and is associated with hope. And as we follow God and as we follow His way, that patience will produce blessings of peace in our lives. It will help produce trust in our God and ultimately faith. We'll have that faith and that patience to know that God will take care of whatever might be wrong in our lives. And if we exercise that patience, we wait on God, and if we are patient with others, that peace and promise that God has in store for each of us will come through, up to and including eternal life. Hebrews 10, verse 23, just as reference, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, to be patient, for he who has promised is faithful. God always comes through. It's just a matter of when. Last point, point number five. Point number five, God promotes perfect patience. God promotes perfect patience. He shows us perfect patience. He suffers long with us. He is a perfect example of long-suffering. God's patience with mankind is beyond amazing. Witness his patience with Israel, with all of his servants too, Gideon and Jonah, to name a couple. We know their accounts. King David summed this up for us rather nicely in Psalm chapter 103. Let's take a look at Psalm chapter 103 real quick. Psalm chapter 103, start in verse 7. Speaking of the Lord, the God of the Old Testament, who we now know as Jesus Christ, he was the Word. Verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Israel knew, they knew God's laws, and we know how Israel responded to them. However, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, another way of saying patient, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. God has loving patience and long-suffering with his people. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, I just want to read this as reinforcement, if you will. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Again, showing God's long-suffering and patience toward us. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. And we'd be talking about those who show impatience. But God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when we consider the things that man has done on this earth, the atrocities, the horrors, the things that man does to man, and we see God say this, that he is willing to give everyone a chance at true life, to know him, to know Jesus Christ. He's not willing that any should perish. That is such incredible patience and long-suffering. Again, he's patient and long-suffering with all of us. Romans chapter 15. One more here. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. I really like this. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 and 5 we will read. It speaks of patience in terms of the scripture first. For whatever things were written before, verse 4, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. God gives us patience and comfort through the scriptures. Verse 5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Jesus Christ. God of patience and comfort, another one of his names. He's, again, patient and long-suffering with us, all of mankind, giving us all time to learn, grow, and change. And we know as we look at the life of Jesus Christ on this earth, his ministry on this earth, it was all about patience and long-suffering. All he did was minister to people, healed their sicknesses, talked to them, taught to them. All of his energy and effort went to his incredible compassion and patience and long-suffering with those around him. And he does that for us now to this day. And it's very sobering, actually, to realize that none of us deserve the patience God has for us. If we consider that God were not incredibly patient with each and every one of us, none of us would be here now. Praise be to our God for his love and patience toward us. Because we know in Romans 3, verse 23, just reading this for reference, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we know what God thinks of sin. And yet he loves us so much. He has incredible patience and long-suffering. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll look at one very small section of Jesus Christ's patience toward people, toward mankind, toward the plan of God and Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 21. Again, these are very familiar verses. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Again, we're to follow as he does, that you should follow his steps. There it is right there. Verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges rightly. Brethren, this is patience and long-suffering in the extreme, made all the more sobering by the fact that he exercised this for every human being that has ever been born, including every one of us. He had, when he went through this willingly, he had God's plan, their plan, fixed firmly in mind, was willing to patiently take it all, that the plan would succeed, and that there would be forgiveness of sin, the presence of God's Spirit in our lives, and the promise of eternal life. All of those blessings available to us, all in love for us and all of mankind, because of his perfect patience, perfect long-suffering. And again, God's entire time and plan for man has been an exercise in love and patience. For us, for his creation, for his potential family. However, patience can and does have limits at times. Sometimes intervention in a situation is necessary. Disobedience cannot be tolerated indefinitely. Like when children misbehave, parents do not allow bad behavior to continue. And so too, God with ancient Israel, with us, and all of mankind, because the day is coming soon when God finally will end his patience with this world that we live in, and he will intervene. He will send his son to this earth. There will be new things going on. So, brethren, in conclusion, brethren, patience is an attribute of love. We know from 1 John 4 and verse 8 that God is love. Patience promotes the development of godly character. It promotes the development of spiritual wisdom, of the spiritual gifts of the fruit of the Spirit. It promotes wisdom. It promotes love toward God and man. And it promotes blessings. And if we wish to be more like our Father in heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ, and grow that godly love in our lives to truly love God and to love neighbor, then we must foster and develop that godly fruit of patience and long-suffering in our lives, to wait patiently on God when we are troubled or in need, knowing that He will answer. It's only a matter of when. Or when dealing with one who might be giving us difficulty, to have patient love in return for your fellow human being, to show again that light. In Romans, Paul reminds us, Romans 12, verse 18, just for reference, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And that takes patience, sometimes a lot of it. So I just want us to really be thinking about this subject, because as kings and priests and teachers in the kingdom of God, we will be called upon to show the same patience and long-suffering that God did with ancient Israel, with the world as we know it today. Those alive in the millennium will begin to learn the right way to live, the way of God. So we need to learn and practice that patience now so we will know, so we will be ready to be patient with them as they come out and learn how to love God and learn how to love each other. So again, I just want us to be thinking about this today, because even with God's Spirit working in us, it's too easy to let life carry us away, and we can get taken up in the moment if something happens. It's pretty easy. So I encourage all of us to practice, nurture, and grow patience in our lives to show that love, that outgoing concern, and long-suffering to others.